Good evening, everyone. I want you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. You ever had the conversation with your children where the perpetual or possibly eternal question keeps coming up? Why? Why? And you give a little bit more of an answer, and then why? They want to know. They're inquisitive. Their little minds are racing and want to know. And so I think about the question why, and I think there's a lot of people that question why. Particularly they question, why am I here? And I did just a quick search online because I know a lot of people will go online and try to see what's out there. They'll get on Google and they'll type in, what is the purpose of life? What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I here? Those kind of questions come up. And I want you to know that's certainly a serious question. And truly, might take a little bit to kind of think about that question and ponder it a little bit. Well, why am I here? And it could be one of those, perpetual questions that keeps coming up. Someone gives maybe a pretty good answer to the question and you say, well, yeah, but why? but why? We want to know a little bit more. That inquisitive nature that's within us to want to know these things, to want to know why, should help us be motivated to dig deeper where we can actually find the answers. The true meaning of life, right? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Those kind of questions that come up. And, you know, you might see some different ideas out there. The atheist believes that to live life to its absolute fullest, that's the purpose of life, at least his life. The lazy person believes that to do just as little as possible to get by, that's his purpose in life, right? Maybe the businessman who believes that to make as much money, that to him becomes his purpose in life. Hey, you could go on and think of probably different scenarios that we might be able to find that we would see how many people approach the answer to life's question here, the purpose of life. What should we set out to do? As God's children, what is our purpose in life? What is it that we're supposed to be doing? What were we made to do? How should we go about living our life? And then we might continue to ask that question, but why? And then seek the answer that is found in the scriptures to begin with. What if we had an individual that we could go to and they have in fact experienced basically everything in life? They've lived life to its fullest. They have done everything that you could possibly imagine. They set out their purpose in life. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And they, in fact, accomplished all of those things that they set out to do. Well, in fact, we have an individual that we can go to, inspired to write the book of Ecclesiastes for us, probably written in the latter portion of his life. This is David's son Solomon, the wise man Solomon, the one who as a child king would pray for wisdom to lead God's people and be given wisdom that was greater than any other. So much so even the queen of Ethiopia would come and want to ask questions. Maybe she was asking why, but no doubt she asked questions and said, you know, everything that I had heard, the half has not been told. He had greater wisdom than you could possibly imagine. Well, what we find out is in the life of Solomon, that in fact, it seemed that he set out to do certain things. He had a purpose in mind. He wanted to do this. He wanted to find out this. He wanted to have this, and so he did. And then we find when you get to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, let's hear the conclusion. Here's what it all boils down to. But there are some things that he gives along the way. And in fact, years ago, it was suggested to me as a kind of a devotional reading was to set out once a month to read Ecclesiastes. Now, you can do it in one setting. It doesn't take long. I would challenge you to try to do that. Just sit down and once a month, read the book of Ecclesiastes. There are some jewels that you will find that is there, but it's so practical. It's so everyday life. There's so much to be found in that. And I know we could say the Proverbs are much the same way, also written by Solomon. But there are some things that Solomon experiences here that you get some firsthand knowledge of. This is what I set out to do. This is what happened when I did that. And boy, let me tell you, those kind of lessons that come out. And so it's amazing. So let's ask this question. What is the purpose of life? Could it be personal pleasure? Could it be to gain personal wisdom, to grow in our wisdom? Could it be personal riches? Those three Solomon will answer for us. Could it be personal pleasure? Look with me in Ecclesiastes 1 to begin with. And I want you to notice verses 12 through 18. Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through 18. I'm reading from the ESV. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart, he says, to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind, or vexation of the spirit, he says in other translations. What, he says, is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I've acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I applied my heart to know wisdom. And to know, he says, madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind, vexation of spirit. And in much wisdom is much vexation, he says. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. So let's pick up then in chapter 2 and answer this question. Could it be pleasure? He says, I said in my heart, chapter 2, verse 1, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, he says, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it, he says. Solomon says that this pleasure that he was seeking after, worldly pleasure, he said all is vanity. He says, what good is it at all? This is after he's experienced so much. He says, it's just vanity. And he says, basically, how that these pleasures of life, how you're pleased in life, it really doesn't, it doesn't add up. It doesn't bring you what you think that it's going to bring you, as we'll see in some other places. But I want you to notice this. Then he says in verse 4, he says, I made great works. I built houses. I planted vineyards for myself. So this is personal pleasure, right? I made myself gardens and parks, and I planted them all kinds of trees and fruit trees. He says, I made myself pools from which water, to water the forest of growing trees. I bought, he says, male and female slaves. I had slaves who were born in my house. I had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. So as far as kings were concerned, as far as any who's ruled in that area, he says, I had more than you could ever imagine, had more than all those before me. Personal pleasure. He sought after it. He got it. He had it. Solomon said he had everything that anyone could ever want. But the pleasure that he received from it, he says, all was vanity. There's no doubt that materialism in our world today, and maybe even especially in our country today, is certainly problematic. Might produce a momentary moment of pleasure, if you will, but it will never produce everlasting pleasure. Personal pleasure can't be the purpose of life, then, with what Solomon's telling us. Could it be, then, personal wisdom? Is that possible? Notice with me, Ecclesiastes 2, we'll read verses 12 through 15. So I turn to consider wisdom, he says, madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? only what has already been done. He says, then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes, and he said, in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. The wisest man on earth admits that even that kind of wisdom, it's vanity. It's useless. It doesn't accomplish the man's purpose in life. And he admits that that wisdom doesn't matter really in the whole scheme of things, does it? That's what Paul would say. He writes to the Corinthians and he makes this statement, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19. For the wisest man and maybe the greatest soldier of the cross both agree that kind of wisdom is overrated. And so to get wisdom, as what he is talking about here, that cannot be the purpose of man. Well, could it be personal riches? Could it possibly be just gaining so much wealth? You never have to worry again about those kind of things. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 18. Yea, I hated all my labor, my toiling, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall follow me, whoever's coming after me. Verse 18. Solomon had labored to accumulate wealth and riches, and he did. He accomplished that. But he says his labor was in vain. Someone else is going to come along and be the one to probably spend it. The wise man says that to gain riches, that's vanity. Well, the Apostle Paul would write to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Notice he says, the love of riches, the love of money. That's only going to propel one into evil and darkness. It's going to pierce them through with many sorrows. The love of money could cause one to lose their soul. And notice what he says here. The desire of it, the love of it, this is what I'm here for, is to get rich. That kind of attitude will bring about many sorrows. Solomon says it's useless. It's vanity. So once again, the wisest of the wise, the soldier of Christian soldiers, agrees that riches, that's not the purpose of man. If the purpose of life then is to be pleased or to have unsurpassable wisdom or to gain great riches, then what is it? If that's not what it is, then what truly is man's purpose in life? Well, here's where we get to flip to the end of the book. Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Notice the last two verses. Excuse me. Ecclesiastes 12. He says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. In other words, this is what he's done. He's set out to accomplish these things, these three particular areas especially. Gained all of these things. But he says, all has been heard. Here's the end of it all. Here's the conclusion. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man. The word duty has been supplied for us there. This is the whole duty of man. This is the whole of man. This is the purpose of life. This is what it's about. And he says in verse 14, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. And I would think that certainly had to weigh on Solomon's heart and his conscience, thinking about all those things that he's done. thinking about the way that he's lived his life, thinking about what he thought to be the purpose of life, and then gets to the end of it and he's looking back and he goes, well, that was a waste of time. That was a waste. It's useless. That can't be the purpose of man. He says the purpose of man is to fear God, to have a proper respect and awe for God that says, you're the creator. I will do what you want. I will do what you have made me to be. You know, we think about all the rest of creation. You think about how it responded. God spoke, and there it was. So, what do? Dogs were made to bark, they bark. Cats were made to meow, so they meow, right? Birds bird. But what about humans? What do? Do we do what we were made to do? What the true purpose in life is? To fear God? To stand in awe of Him? And to praise Him, to live in such a way that it offers praise unto Him, to live in such a way so that others can see that praise unto God, see the direction that we're living our life is upward, and not just taking in, trying to accumulate these things, but rather simply wanting to be pleasing unto our Creator. You think about the book of Ecclesiastes, the rest of it, all those chapters in between, tells those stories, gets deep into the mix of it, if you will, of what Solomon was doing, how specifically he was living his life. And he keeps saying the same thing over and over. All of it is vanity. I sought after this, I did this, it's a waste of time. But the real purpose in life, fear God and to keep His commandments. And all that in light of the fact that in one day we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged of those things, whether good or bad. Every secret thing's going to be made known, according to verse 14, the way that he ends the book. And with that kind of wisdom and knowing that we could go to the inspired writer, the one who had all that wisdom that God had given him. Look at Solomon's life and you say, the choices that he made, we're able to look at that and we're able to see he made some bad choices, some poor choices, and sometimes we do as well. It's often the case then we realize that, especially in light of judgment, and especially knowing that those things that we chose to do, that they were a waste. It's not what we should have been doing. It's not how we should have been living. And we want to make those things right. And as children of God, we have opportunity to make those things right. We can repent of those things. We can ask for forgiveness and continue then to walk in the light and enjoy the blessings of God. What a wonderful life we have in Christ. If you're not in Christ, not able to enjoy those blessings or the promise and the hope of salvation. But Jesus says, if you believe that I am He, or if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you'll repent of the sin that's in your life, turning unto me, in other words, Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, and be baptized to wash away sins, Acts 22, verse 16, that's His plan to save us. And then His plan for our continued living following Him is found in Scripture. It's okay to ask the question why, but let's continue to pick up the book and see the answers that He's truly given to us. This evening you may have a need. We'd love nothing more to encourage you, to help you, and to pray for you. And so if you have a need this evening, won't you come to the front while we stand and while we sing this song?